Right, so today we're diving into something that always seems to get people talking.
Oh, yeah.
The U.S. Department of Education. And specifically, we're going to be looking at this idea of, like, should it even exist at all?
Okay.
And our main source for this deep dive is an article from the Mises Institute
Okay.
called Why It's Time to Abolish the Department of Education. Now,
Interesting.
just so you know, the Mises Institute,
Right.
they're a libertarian think tank. So they're definitely coming at this from a particular angle.
Right.
But that's what makes this deep dive so interesting, right? Like,
Yeah.
is this just like a fringe idea, or, are they on to something here
Yeah.
that a lot of people haven't really thought about?
For sure.
One of the things that I found fascinating
Yeah.
was how recently the Department of Education was actually established.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty recent.
It was 1979
Yeah, under President Carter.
under President Carter.
Yeah, before that education was handled so much differently. It was much more decentralized.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too when I was reading up on it.
Yeah.
It's like you think something as fundamental as education would have had its own department, like,
Exactly.
right from the get-go.
From the start.
But no, it was 1979.
Yeah.
So how did this even come about, like, in 1979? Why then?
Well, the article points to the National Education Association, the NEA.
Right.
Their endorsement was like a major factor.
Okay.
They were kind of transitioning from being, a professional association into becoming like a really powerful labor union.
Interesting.
And so them coming out and supporting a separate department
Yeah.
really carried a lot of weight.
Okay, so right away, we're
Yeah.
seeing this, like,
Yeah.
interplay between, politics
Of
and
course.
education.
Absolutely.
But why are some people so adamant about just, like, getting rid of the department completely?
Well, their main argument basically comes down to the Constitution.
Okay.
It doesn't actually explicitly say anywhere that the federal government should be involved in education.
So they're saying it's like
Yeah.
unconstitutional overreach.
Exactly.
That's a pretty big claim.
It is a bold claim,
Yeah.
but it's like a core belief for a lot of these organizations, like the Mises Institute,
Okay.
the Reason Foundation, the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
They see the Department of Education as a violation of states' rights and individual liberty.
And it's interesting because, even
Yeah.
President Franklin Delano Roosevelt,
FDR.
who's known for, expanding the role of the federal government.
Right. Huge
He
expansion.
didn't even think that education
Yeah.
should be a federal matter.
It's pretty
It
wild.
really makes you think about, like, how did we get here
How did it evolve?
to this
It's a
point?
great question.
But the article doesn't stop there.
No.
It also kind of points to some recent scandals that
Yes.
have fueled these calls to abolish the department. So let's get into that.
Okay.
What kind of scandals are we talking about here?
So one that I think is, particularly relevant is what they're calling the FAFSA fiasco.
Okay.
The free application for federal student aid.
Oh, yeah, I remember filling that out.
Yeah, everyone's favorite.
That was fun.
Not really, but
Yeah.
it's how students get financial aid for college.
Right.
And basically, during the Biden administration, there were some major issues with like the revamped form,
Okay.
and it caused a lot of chaos.
Like, what kind of chaos are we talking about?
Like calculation errors, delayed admissions,
Oh, wow.
students missing out on financial aid that they really needed.
So it's not just like a couple of isolated cases. This was.
No, this was widespread.
Wow.
Colleges across the country were reporting lower enrollment numbers because of these problems,
Because of FAFSA.
because of FAFSA.
Wow, that's a huge impact.
Huge.
So that's one big mark against the department.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Okay, so another area of controversy is Title IX,
Right.
which, prohibits sex-based discrimination in education, and it's been a constant battleground for policy changes and legal challenges.
Can you give us, like, a quick rundown of, like, what's been happening with Title IX?
Yeah, so basically under the Trump administration, Betsy DeVos, she expanded the due process protections for students accused of sexual misconduct.
Right.
Then the Biden administration came in and they broadened the Title IX protections to include LGBTQ plus students.
Okay.
And that triggered a whole new wave of lawsuits.
Wow.
So currently, 26 states are actually suing the Biden administration over these new regulations.
Verify.
And it could very well end up in the Supreme Court.
So a lot of back and
A
forth.
lot of back and forth, a lot of uncertainty.
And then there's the issue that I think is on everybody's mind,
Oh, yeah.
student loan debt.
The big one.
The article calls it the student loan saga,
It is a saga.
and it has been quite a ride.
Definitely.
So the Biden administration tried to just wipe out, billions of dollars in student debt.
Yeah, a very ambitious plan.
But the Supreme Court blocked it.
Big roadblock.
But they did manage to forgive nearly $138 billion through executive orders.
Yeah, they found a way.
And there's all this talk about, you know, more loan forgiveness could be on the way.
Who knows what's next?
Which raises all sorts of questions about, like, the financial implications, the ethical implications.
Absolutely.
That's a good complex issue.
Very complex.
Okay, so we've got the historical context. Mm-hmm. We've got the constitutional arguments.
Yeah.
We've got these recent scandals.
A lot to unpack.
What does all of this mean for the future of the Department of Education? That's what I'm really curious about.
Yeah, that's the big question. Well, it's definitely an interesting political landscape right now.
You know,
Trump has been very vocal about his criticism of the Department of Education.
Right.
He's even said that he supports abolishing it.
Yeah.
And he's not alone in that.
Right. There are think tanks.
Oh, yeah.
That support that.
Like the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah, didn't the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025?
Yes.
Also call for getting rid of the department.
They argue it has no constitutional basis.
So even with Trump backing it,
mm-hmm.
even with think tanks supporting it,
yeah.
it still sounds like abolishing it wouldn't be easy.
No, it definitely wouldn't be easy.
So what are the like roadblocks?
Well, I mean, first of all, you need an act of Congress to get rid of a cabinet-level department.
Okay.
Like, they'd have to repeal the 1979 legislation.
So Trump can't just, like, you know...
He can't just wave a magic wand.
Wave a magic wand and make it disappear.
Exactly.
Okay, so it has to go through Congress.
It does. And to repeal a law, you need a supermajority in the Senate.
Okay.
Which means at least 60 votes.
60 votes.
And right now, the Republicans hold 53 seats.
Right.
And Democrats and independents, they have 47.
So unless there's some kind of major political shift,
yeah,
that seems unlikely to get those extra votes.
It's a long shot.
Okay, so the math doesn't really add up for abolition.
Not at the moment.
At least not right now in the short term.
Right.
But let's say they can somehow overcome these legislative hurdles.
Right.
Wouldn't getting rid of the Department of Education just cause a ton of disruption?
Absolutely. It would be hugely disruptive.
Like, how...
Well, think about everything the department is responsible for, like student loans,
yeah.
federal funding for schools, special education programs.
Right.
I mean, it's a massive undertaking.
It's hard to even imagine how you would untangle all of that.
Yeah, you'd have to create something to replace it.
Right. What would happen to the students who rely on federal grants and loans to afford college?
Well, that's a major concern, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, especially those from low-income backgrounds,
right.
they depend on that aid.
Yeah.
Abolishing the department could completely derail their educational plans.
And what about schools themselves?
Yeah.
Like, so many of them rely on that federal funding.
They do.
Wouldn't they just be left scrambling to fill in those gaps?
Yeah, it would create a huge budgetary crisis for a lot of school districts.
Especially in, like, you know...
Especially in underserved areas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it seems like abolishing the Department of Education is kind of a long shot. For now?
Yeah. For now, it seems like it.
But what about the long game?
Oh.
Could these scandals eventually lead to its demise?
It's possible, you know?
Yeah.
Public perception really matters.
Right.
And this constant stream of controversies really erodes the public's trust and support.
It's like a slow drip
of
negativity that weakens the foundation.
Exactly. The more the department is seen as inefficient, bureaucratic, unfair, the more pressure there's going to be to reform it.
Yeah.
Downsize it or maybe even get rid of it completely.
But even if that were to happen,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't there still need to be like some kind of federal oversight of education?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And it's something that even people who want to abolish the department acknowledge.
So what would that even look like? Like a smaller,
maybe
more streamlined agency that's focused on like specific areas.
That's one idea.
Okay.
Some people have proposed a model where the federal government provides funding and sets broad guidelines.
Okay.
But then they leave most of the decision-making power to the states.
So it's like a shift in the balance of power.
Exactly.
Between the federal government and the states.
And that's where the debate gets really heated.
Right.
Because it comes down to these fundamental questions about the role of government, individual liberty, and how to ensure quality education for everyone.
Right. Because where do you draw the line?
Exactly.
Like, what's the appropriate role for the federal government and how much should be left to the states?
It's a tough one.
This is where I always feel like I need a compass or something.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost.
Like, what are the core philosophical arguments that are driving this whole debate?
Well, think of it as a spectrum of viewpoints. Mm-hmm. On one end, you have those who believe in a very strong federal role in education.
Okay.
They argue that the federal government is best equipped to set standards, ensure equity, and provide resources to schools,
okay,
especially to schools in disadvantaged areas.
So they would be against abolishing the Department of Education?
Most likely.
Okay.
They might support reforms to make it more efficient, but they really see that strong federal presence as essential.
Okay, so that's one side, and then on the other side of the spectrum.
On the other end, you have those who believe that education should be primarily a state and local matter.
Okay.
They argue that decisions about curriculum funding, school governance,
right,
those decisions are best made closer to the communities that they affect.
So they would be more open to abolishing the department.
Yes.
Or at least like significantly shrinking its power.
Many of them would.
Okay.
They see this large centralized bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. dictating education policy as just ineffective and out of touch.
So it sounds like there are valid points.
There are.
On both sides of this.
Absolutely.
And it's not an easy issue.
It's not.
Entangle.
No, it's not.
All right. So let's bring it back to the article for a minute.
Okay.
What does it say about the future of the Department of Education?
Well, it concludes with an interesting thought.
Okay.
While immediate abolition is unlikely,
great,
continued scandals and mismanagement could eventually lead to its downsizing or even elimination.
So it's not a matter of if, but when.
Well, it's hard to say for sure.
Right.
But the author definitely seems to believe that the department is on shaky ground and that its future is uncertain.
So this has been a fascinating look.
It has.
At a really complex issue.
It is.
We've covered the history of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
The arguments for and against its existence.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential scenarios for its future.
A lot of different possibilities.
And in the final part of our deep dive,
right,
we're going to wrap things up,
yeah,
by considering what all this means for you, our listeners.
Right.
And how you can engage with these important debates.
It's important to be informed.
All right. So we've talked about a lot, you know, the history, the arguments, the scandals, the politics. But, like, what does it all mean?
Right. It's easy to get lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
But education policy has a real impact on people's lives.
Exactly. So let's try to break it down. Like, what's at stake here?
Okay.
For, you know, everyday people.
Yeah.
Let's start with the argument for abolishing the Department of Education.
Okay.
Like, what are the potential benefits that supporters see?
Well, they argue that, you know, getting rid of the department would shrink the size and scope of the federal government.
Okay.
And that could mean lower taxes, less bureaucracy, which they see as inherently good things.
So less government intervention.
Right.
More freedom for individuals and states.
That's the idea.
Okay.
They also believe that, you know, returning more control over education to the states and local communities,
yeah,
would lead to more flexibility and innovation.
Like more tailored approaches.
Yeah.
That fit the specific needs of different communities.
Right, because a one-size-fits-all approach from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
often doesn't work.
Doesn't really make sense for everyone.
It doesn't account for the unique challenges and opportunities in different parts of the country.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what about the other side of the coin? Like, what are the arguments against getting rid of the department?
Well, those who support a strong federal role in education,
yeah,
they argue that it's crucial to ensure equity and access for all students,
right,
regardless of their background or where they live.
Makes sense.
They worry that without a federal department, there's going to be a race to the bottom.
Oh.
With states cutting corners,
right,
and neglecting the needs of disadvantaged students.
So they see the Department of Education as kind of like a leveler.
Exactly.
Of the playing field.
Leveling the playing field.
Okay.
They point to programs like Title I funding,
right,
for low-income schools or special education funding as examples of how the federal government can help ensure that all students have access to quality education.
So it sounds like a classic debate about the role of government.
It is.
Federal power versus states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
Individual freedom versus collective responsibility.
Those are the big questions.
Yeah. And there are strong arguments on both sides.
There are.
It really just depends on your values.
Right.
Your beliefs about the role of government.
Yeah.
And how you see the Department of Education's track record.
It all factors in.
Yeah. It's not an easy question to answer. And this deep dive has given us a lot to think about.
It has.
But I'm guessing you have some parting thoughts.
I do.
For our listeners about how they can, you know, kind of engage with this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first and foremost, stay informed.
Right.
Read articles, listen to podcasts, you know, follow the debates.
Stay up to date.
Stay up to date, but don't just passively consume information.
Okay.
Think critically about what you're hearing.
Right.
Question assumptions and seek out diverse perspectives.
It's so easy to just like stay in your own little echo chamber.
It is.
And only hear the voices that agree with you.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to engage with people who have different viewpoints.
Yeah, have those tough conversations.
Yes.
You know, challenge each other's ideas.
Be respectful, but challenge those ideas.
Yeah, and really try to understand the nuances
mm-hmm.
of this very complex issue.
It's not black and white.
And education is something that touches all of our lives.
It does.
And, you know, the decisions that we make as a society about how to structure it,
right.
how to fund education,
mm-hmm.
have a profound impact on our communities. So don't be afraid to get involved.
Exactly.
You know, contact your elected officials, participate in school board meetings.
Make your voice heard.
Advocate for policies that you believe
yes.
will improve education for all students.
That's how we make a difference.
That's how we make a difference. All right. This deep dive is giving you the foundation.
The starting point.
The starting point. Now it's time to keep learning.
Keep learning.
Keep questioning.
Keep questioning.
And keep diving deeper.
That's what it's all about.
We hope this has been a thought-provoking journey for you.
Thanks for joining us.